We are live, as promised. Tony Sayers, part two. Well, thank you so much.
It's a pleasure, mate.
What
pleasure.
An extraordinary place you've got. Is this in your locals or something?
Not really a local, but I'm quite friendly with a lady who's manageress. Does a bit of friends and family discount.
Yeah.
So I like to invite people here because it's a fantastic hotel, one of the best in town, not the best in the town,
It's got a lively atmosphere.
I think you've just walked out the door there and seen Tim Healy on his way out the door.
I got a picture of him as well.
Got a quick photograph with the guy, Nice fella.
Yeah, I mean, God, I'm here in a shorts and a T-shirt. Yeah. And
you're in the shadows of the Newcastle. Itself, that's the Newcastle there, where it's been there for 900 years. I don't know why they call it new. It's been there for 900 years, but there was a wooden castle before that that got burned down. Romans, but the castle, Anglo Saxons, and that's been there since 1069 or something. So,
yeah,
a bit of part of Newcastle you couldn't wish to be in.
So, guys, my viewers have seen the last one done with you and your uncle.
Yeah,
and it absolutely was a storm, mate.
Yeah,
and I know that we said that we was doing a part two, but people have been going mental, and they want this part two. Right, so here we are today.
There was a lot of subjects we didn't really touch on yesterday.
That's right. Yeah,
but certain ones we didn't.
But the thing is, what we did get on there is we got on there the history of the Sayers.
Yeah,
which is obviously something that you don't get to express a lot around there, unless people Google you or another. Yeah. So it was nice to get that side of you.
Yeah.
People want to know more. They want to know more about, you know, the other side of the Sayers, your association with some of the biggest names, not just in the northeast but around everywhere. Can you tell us, touch on some of this, if that's all right?
I think the people that know we. I know you'll always get people who say, they're twats or they're this or they're that, they're drug. Mate, them people don't even know we, if I'm being honest. If they actually got to know we, meet where they find out that, oh, well, they're not, you know, there's a many time I've went out of a pub or a club, sat and talked to somebody, I just introduced myself as Tony because I never used my second name, if I'm being perfectly honest, unless I really, really have to. I was out a few weeks ago talking to a couple of lovely ladies from up Ponteland, and I just told my name was Tony. When I told my second name at the end of the conversation, they were shocked. They were drug dealers, murderers, gang members, bloody well, which isn't true. I mean, you read a lot of stuff in the newspapers that isn't true.
Why is it when you do Google your name, though, there is a lot of, you know, when I Googled and we started talking about some your great granddad and stuff.
Yeah.
I saw boxing legends. You know what I mean?
True, that's true.
And then. Of course, there's obviously some people are a bit wavily, you know, and that stuff does come up. How does that make you feel?
Like I say, it's not a lot of it's true, if I'm being honest. I mean, a good friend of mine, Italian guy, he Googled himself, you know, and he's about your stamp and your build. But when he Googled himself, this big 6'5" Italian porn star came up. So I thought, I wonder what it looks like if I Google myself. So I did. And here it come up, author, actor. And even mentioned gangster, but I've said before, I'm not a gangster, not far from it.
I think that word is a very loose word that people use, just a terminology.
I always feel as if, Paul,
Hollywood.
I always feel that your Robert De Niro's, your Joe Pesci's, and God rest your soul, that really hot, who just passed away yesterday. If them get an acting role in a movie, they want to know how to act like a gangster, I don't know, or they act how these people act. Well, unfortunately, we just act like that anyway. You know, if we go somewhere, tell them, bloody blah. I mean, you seen yesterday, we drove along the road. Yesterday, the taxi driver stopped us in the road, stuck his hand out the window, says, Tony, what a lovely guy. Bloody, you happen to be in the car with Jamie.
That wasn't
I just feel as if you've been nice to people and you get nice back. I think on YouTube, Paul, there's so much negativity. He said, she said, he's a cunt. You know, it's just all negative. Most of it's all lies and crap. And it's nice to come on and talk a bit of truth, if I'm being honest. But back to, like, noted names in Newcastle. Unfortunately, there's a lot of murders get committed, mate. I was watching something yesterday on TV about kids going missing. A lot of kids going missing, just completely vanish off the face of the earth. They were doing something on the news about they're going to make these 3D... missing persons things where they actually bring that person's photograph to life
Oh, wow.
It looked fantastic.
Really?
Very heartbreaking. It was heartbreaking for the parents to look up this big screen and see their child actually looking and blinking, and kids 13, 14, 15, even adults disappearing. Do you know what I mean? So there is unsolved crimes. There's unsolved murders. And that's just which way life is. It frightens me to death because when my kids play out, I get a bit scared. So make sure you tell them where you're going. I want to know where you are. But the thing is,
we know the dangers of the world. So when we're doing that, they're thinking that, oh, God, get off my case. I'm just going out with my friends. I was a
friend of Lee Duffy's years ago. When Lee came out of the prison, Lee had finished the 4.5 year. And me and my cousin went down to see him in Middlesbrough. Bunged him a few quid, and Lee was like just fresh out the nick. And I used to watch this kid, he used to spar and box. And I mean, I could sit to Lee, and people see he was a liberty taker, he was a bully. I never found that. I'm speaking as a fine Paul, I could sit there and have a bit crack like me and you were talking now. When I put the pads on one day and he started doing a bit of boxing, oh wow, this guy's powerful. I'd hate to get whiskered on the chin by one of these. And then you look at people like Viv Graham, God rest his soul, the same thing. Nobody could beat these guys. They were unbeatable as far as I was concerned. Mm-hmm. Tough guys, real tough men. And I knew Viv by sight and spoke to him a couple of times. I don't even remember me, but he was a nice fella as far as I was concerned. Family man, didn't start many nonsense. But the death of these people, another unsolved crime was Peter Gowland, a good friend of mine. He got killed. I'm saying good friend of mine. I knew of him. Only 52. He got killed in Jesmond. There's been a couple of unsolved murders, a lot more than you think in Newcastle, in the northeast. But thinking about Lee and Viv and that, I thought, these guys went to the gym all the time, and if somebody can kill them, if you've upset somebody, you know, and these people can be killed, what's the point of me going to the gym and working out and bump, bump, bump?
Well, you always have this, mate. You always see that these people that keep themselves in shape normally are dying natural causes you know, if they're involving themselves in the crime, it is. I think a lot of things when it comes with power from the streets, which you create yourself a name, is if someone's going to come chin you, if you've got a name, they're not just coming to have a little scrap with you. They're going to have to, like...
I always feel, Paul, that if someone's big and monster, like a monster built kid that's going to come and kill you, it's always a little guy who takes a knife.
Yeah.
Or a gun, he might be 5'6" and he's puny and just come past, you know, so they can just come past some, they can stab you to bits. And
it's what happened with my brother, mate.
Which is awful, mate.
It was the weakest, most fragile man I've ever seen in my life take one of the most powerful men I've ever had from me.
So therefore, what that taught me, that fear... When you put fear into somebody, they do to the fight or flight. They can either retaliate, which clearly it's happened with your brother, God rest his soul, but it's just not nice, mate. So then you start looking at life in a different way. Like I say, with unsolved murders up here, certain deaths, certain people getting killed, it's not nice, mate. And I fear for my children when they get up, you know, and I say, oh, I didn't get involved, that's somebody's kid. And I find... As I've getting older, now, mate, I've become a lot more emotional. I get upset at certain things, you know, like watching certain things on TV, them kids being killed, or you know, little Ben's getting murdered, stuff like, you know, it's awful, mate. I don't think the world's a nice place to be in at the minute.
Did you ever feel like when your name is being created to such a high power that eventually, well, at the time that things are being done, maybe not just you, but family members and stuff, that the name becomes so powerful that it's not you that suffers the consequences, it is your children?
We didn't make the name powerful. It's not us who makes the name powerful. Like you've just said there, when you lived in Sunderland, the name carries. I never want that. I never ever wanted that. I don't think any of the family want it. And it's not me who got the name up there, do you know what I mean? I mean, I went to work for a lot of years, fruit and veg. I always wanted to retire when I was 50-ish, rather, and be able-bodied and try and enjoy me latter life. But unfortunately, I've got two kids now. It's my daughter's last day at school today. She's going to go to college in September. But I've got my youngest boy who's 13. He's got a couple of more years at school. I kind of worry for them as well, you know what I mean? Because there's a lot of people who don't know the name. I mean, back in the day, the Cray twins got away with a lot in the East End of London. Would they survive there now, Paul?
Nah.
I wouldn't have thought so, mate. You've got Somalians, you've got people, Albanians, and them wouldn't give a shit who you are.
Well, they're growing up in a world where Somalians, if you a thief, they then just tell you off for free and jail and chop your hands off, you know. So here, some people like the Krays or even the Sayers or any of the other big names that are out there. They just wouldn't last 2 seconds because there is a kid at 14 years old, and we're on the streets. We're talking to these kids that are in gangs. They're from broken families at 14 years old. They're giving us their knives. Yeah. You know what I mean? And they're not just knives, mate. They're swords, you know? And they're quick to... They'd rather pull out a knife and stab you than punch you in the face.
I'm not really sure that's a good... You know, this knife amnesty thing. I know it's kind of a good thing, but you can go to the pawn shop, Paul, and spend the knicker.
Yeah.
Spend the knicker and go and buy a set of knives. So really, what's the point of handing them in a kind of... Do you know what I'm saying, mate? It's not, I don't know, that's such a good thing. I mean, having knives lying around, and I mean, I'm bang against all that. Years ago, people used to have a straightener.
Yeah.
Get up and shake each other's hands. But when I was a kid, I'm talking 50 years ago. But that doesn't seem to happen anymore, mate. I think people today are so scared of getting beat and defeated. They think that that's a bad mark on your name. And a lot of people in the travelling community, they're the same. They don't want to get beat. It's not. It's like a humiliation towards the family if you get beat, which, you know, everybody gets beat, don't they? You know what I mean? Even Muhammad Ali got beat, and he was the greatest, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
everybody gets beat.
Everyone has their off days, mate.
That's correct, mate.
And when that happens, you talk about the travelling lifestyle and that. Like, you do a lot. Yeah. You go every year down to Appleby, didn't you?
Yeah, well, we used to, years ago, mate, I was born in a house, and we spent... A few years in a trailer years ago, we lived at Hartford Bridge when the camp was just nothing there, mate, if I'm being honest. There was a shed and there was a tap. That was for everybody to use. But old William King, he was like the spokesman for the travellers. He got built a camp further over on the other side, which is the camp today, and it's been remodernised over the years. But we spent a lot of time in a trailer, my mum, and because my mum and dad went from Barra's street trading, they got a shop in the Granger Market and a shop on the West Road. My dad had to kind of declare himself, pay tax, and join society.
Yeah.
We bought a house in Bentinck Road in the West End. Lived there for about 10 years. Happiest times of my life, from about 12 till I was 22, something like that. And then my mum and dad moved back in a trailer for another 25 years back at Hartford. For 25 years, so I had some fantastic memories, met some fantastic people on the camp. But years ago, you could travel from to Musselburgh, which was a fair, a trot fair up at then was Boswell's, Newton St. Boswell's. There was lots of fairs back then, mate, and slowly but surely they've all just been chopped, and all been closed down. So I think the only remaining fair is basically Appleby. You used to go to York Races, that was a great fair as well. Doncaster was a great fair. As I say, mate, now it's just Appleby, and my Frankie loves going out because he's off school for that particular week, and we're trying to have the build up, and you just meet family and friends and people like that, you know. And even so, they're trying to do away with that poll as well. I done an interview with Ed Stafford. That's the guy I was telling you about for Channel 4.
Yeah.
And he was living with the travellers for 60 days or something.
I was talking about this last night.
That's correct, mate.
And he also done the homeless for 30 days
as correct,
well.
That's correct, mate. And he saw the prejudices that were against the travellers.
Yeah.
That would be fair, because I try to do away with this one now. They're going to try and make it law that if you get stopped in a lay-by with your van and your trailers and bits and pieces and all your work stuff, the police can actually take it off you. No, that's taking away your van, which is your work business, and leaving you actually destitute on the street, you know, with your children, you know what I mean? So it's not a good thing, mate, if I'm being honest, but Apple be fair. Now, I said that as well. I remember the saying that, in fact, I got edited out of the programme and I wasn't even in it. But at the time, I remember saying to him, if this was a Pakistani fair or an Asian, a Muslim fair, and they closed all the pubs in the town, because that's what they do. They close all the pubs, the cafes and everything when the travellers come for that week or that weekend. If it was a Muslim fair, they would say, well, it was racist, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So, but because they're white and the travellers, I know there's, you get an odds.
There's a big stigma around
There's a certain few that do work the cell. And the people complain because there's mess and there's noise and they can't get parked, they're inconvenienced. But I live next to St. James's Park Pool. And every fortnight when Newcastle play at home, if I take my car away, I can't park my car in that car park. I'm inconvenienced. Is there no trouble at football matches? There's a certain sector. If people at football matches will kick off, put winners out, get drunk, work themselves. Do they cancel the football? Do they want to cancel the football? No. Is there mess left on the streets? Yeah. Am I inconvenienced? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah, 100%. I know a fair amount of travellers, and I've got nothing but love and respect for the boys, you know?
Yeah, but there'll be a certain section who they drink too much, they can't hold their liquor.
And no different from football
from
gorgeous,
fans.
Yeah, no different, 100%.
But like I say, there's certain bars in town get smashed up. It's just tolerated, it always has been, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what do you do?
Yeah. So going from all these people you know and the name that has been created around you, you haven't done any prison time.
No.
You're probably...
Thank God.
Yeah. I mean, you haven't done any prison time. So when people are looking in and they put your name down, they're like you say, when people turn around and go, what's your name? And you say Tony. And they go, Tony. And you say Saz. People are like going, oh, my God. I've seen it with my own eyes, you know. It's
because
like,
my cousins were in prison, Paul. And because of your family, I took days off work years ago. Go to Whitemore, Parkhurst. Full Sutton, to name but a few prisons up and down the country, to visit my cousins. Actually bumped into Black Panther one day, Don Nielsen, when he was in there, little fella. He was on the same landing as our Michael. But when my family was in there, see, my dad was in prison when he was 21. Silly theft thing, when he was 21 back in the 60s. And his dad passed away at my age, which was 56, 57. He passed away, you know, and I could see how much that really, still to the day, my dad, and he's 78, he's had a stroke, but it upsets him today to even talk about that. So he said those years ago when John, Stephen and Mike was in prison, doing 37 years between them, he looked at me in the eyes, son, I didn't want that for you, son, please, I didn't want you doing that. Please, I didn't want to go to visit in prison, blah, 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 which that kind of, and the fact that my cousin had been shot and killed in the big market, that kind of, that's the road I could have took, but I jumped back onto the straight and narrow pole, if you know what I mean. I didn't want to go down there. I actually had a bit crack with, I read Chris Lambrioni's book when I go on holiday. I take a book with us and read Donnie Brasco once, and I read Chris Lambrioni's book, crack and read, and I could read in this book how much it upset his dad, because his dad died when he was an old fella, and he had to go and visit his sons. That was five or six brothers, Jimmy, Nicky, Tony, Lambrioni brothers, and they got nicked for that, for sticking by the creations, I suppose, but what good that done them anyway, none. But how much it upset that old man, you know, and the family. Their mom died, and it was upsetting, so I idolised my father and my mom, and thank God they're still with me today, and they're still alive. And
that amazed me. The last time you said that, your parents are still together.
Yeah, I've got so much to be blessed for.
Oh, 100%.
I've got three fantastic sons and a daughter. I'm really blessed, man. I count my blessings. So to have pocketfuls of money, no, that ain't the be-all and end-all, Paul, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. It's to have your happiness and you're going to the town, have a cup of coffee with you. I can do someone a favour, make a phone call. I said, can you put Paul in this hotel? It didn't cost me.
Yeah, you absolutely set us up with this place. It just goes to show how extensive people respect and love you, mate, because you literally made a call, booked me up within seconds, and I was just like, wow, this guy has got some movement up here, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, you say about the shooting and that lot with your cousin. Yeah. How did that affect you guys as a family? Because the reason why I ask is not because I'm trying to dig in to be nosy. I lost my brother, and when I lost my brother, because he was also murdered, it had such an effect on me, that I feel like my family has died. It's not the same, you know. Like my mum's different, my sisters are different. My stepdad had a stroke. Like it really truly affected my family.
Yeah.
What was it like for you around that time?
Really, really upsetting, mate. Upsetting. It makes you actually sit down, take stock of your own life. Do I really want to be doing this? Because me and Frankie, we weren't just cousins, we were best friends. he was a bit headstrong. Best fun in the world, Paul, really, you know, practical jokes, joking along, just really, really funny guy. Me and him used to click all the time. We could have a crack and take the piss out of somebody else, but in a nice way. It wasn't bad. Yeah. But for him to, the whole scenario around that, Paul, which I don't really want to go into, but it was tragic. And it was so upsetting that it actually made me change my life. Like I say, Frank was a fun-loving guy, but he was a villain. Now, I think we talked about it yesterday. Can you be a villain and be a good guy? Well, there are loads of villains who are proper good guys.
Yeah.
Good guys. They wouldn't steal off an old woman, or they wouldn't, you know what I mean?
Holding doors open.
Yeah, of
please,
course.
Thank you.
Does that make you a good guy? Maybe it does, I don't know. But you know when someone's skint? And them have had a touch today. Yeah, they'll bung you a couple of quid, help you out, you know what I mean? Help people out. Because that's what
like
I was...
Like a Robin Hood statue.
Yeah, in a way, mate. And I'm not trying to condone being a thief is a good thing. Please don't pick us up that way. Because it doesn't work like that. But if you can be a villain and be a good guy, there is that kind of thing. There used to be them guys years ago. I don't know if they're still around now. I'm not really
I haven't seen many.
No,
mate.
not really,
to tell you the truth. I think if I go back to my street days, and I was to redo it all now, I wouldn't even bother, mate. I really wouldn't even bother. And I don't know why the kids are following this new trend that fast crime and fast and short-term respect is worth life and death.
The not that I condone what the Korea Queen has done, because it was awful, and I would hate to be living somewhere where you were being terrorised by somebody, but what I liked about the Creators was the dress sense. It kind of fell in with the mini skirt, the England win the World Cup, the Rolling Stones, the Korea Twins. It kind of fell in with that 60s thing when I was born, which I thought was a great thing. But my advice to anybody, I mean, when you see these kids today who call themselves gangsters, they've got these masks on, they've got black hoodies on, they've got big fucking knives in their pockets. They look like hoodlums. They're not well got.
Yeah,
they're not liked. If you're walking down the street, you know, people. I'd hear my mum walking down the street and see these people, and you think, fucking hell, do you know what I mean? It's kind of scary, now. It's not the same as it was.
Well,
back in the day.
I think way back when you put a face to every hard man and woman there was out there, you could put a face to it.
Yeah.
And now, people.
Excuse me.
The only way you'd see the face of anybody is when the police have caught them, mm-hmm. which is almost straight away after a crime. Yeah. You know, at least way back when, real villains, real criminals, real hard men, foot soldiers would show you the respect. It wouldn't get you from behind. It would be like, in the car park now, do you know, you'll have your fight, you'll shake your hand, you'll go in, probably be best friends.
Yeah.
You know, and that was a lot of what it was when I was young fighting. A lot of people that I had fights with on the streets, I ended up becoming friends with, you know.
Is because you've earned the respect then, haven't you? That's the kind of the respect thing. You know, you don't fuck them about. But when I was a child, my uncle Frankie, who was my dad's older brother, who was a featherweight boxer, he was what I would class as a gangster. Him and my uncle Blow Shotton, George Shotton, was another one as well. There's a photograph on I've got my telephone when I sat with Joe Louis, the heavyweight boxer, when he came to Newcastle, and that was through the Korea Twins that he actually came to Newcastle. But he was what I would call like a bit of a gangster back in the day, but a lovely, lovely fella. Wise guy, and he used to tell me a story when he was in prison. He used to get tobacco in for Frankie Fraser. So he mentioned all these names to me when I was a kid, because I think Uncle Frankie got a seven stretch years ago, and getting a 7-year, even getting a 5, Paul, back in the day, 5-year, that was a big fucking sentence, mate. That was a big sentence. No, the dish fives looked like candy.
And you know, prison back then,
mate,
kids wouldn't even last it today.
Slopping out and things. Mate, three men in the cell having a piss and a shite in the bucket in the corner. Mate, the smell must have been atrocious.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Make your cockle. But no, I mean, we talked this yesterday. Got TVs, got telephones. We got a toilet to flush. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I suppose it's improved for the better, I suppose. But I still wanted to go there. I was talking to a pal of mine a few weeks ago. He's just getting out of prison. He went, no, this guy, seriously, mate, was a career criminal. He's a little bit younger than me. Career criminal, thief. Dipper. Do you know what Dipper is? It's pickpocket.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was. He says, "I'm not going back in there anymore." He says, "It's just all on space. Space. Everyone's off their nuts." He says, "It's a scary, scary place." And that was the fellow who could handle a bit of jail back in the day. He says, "I finished with that now." So even he's went and got a job. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So my advice to anybody, seriously, my two kids have got jobs. My daughter leaves school today. She's going to go to college. I want her to get a job. But it's...
Let me just pull that mic up a little bit more, just so it can be a little bit louder when you talk, if you
it's
can.
It's possibly the end of an era, really. Because I think education... That's the most important thing anyone can have, education.
Yeah, I didn't believe in education and stuff.
Yeah.
I ended up thankfully having a talent that took me throughout my career, and that was basically drawing on skin. So I tattoo. But if they would have told me way back when at school that my job was mostly science and maths.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have believed them. And then when you do it, you think to yourself, cool, I think I would have needed that a bit, you know. I try and explain this to my kids all the time. And I grew up in a family that didn't matter about, it was all about respect. It was all about being tough. Something that I install into my children not to do now. Yeah. I'm breaking the cycle and I'm doing that with my children because I want them to have a completely different life to the way that, not the way I was brought up, because I enjoyed the way I was brought up. I think my mum was incredible. She'd done amazing with us. My dad had nothing to do with us, so he has no part in to play with the way that we was brought up. It was tough.
Yeah.
You know, it was tough, way tougher than what we've got with our kids. You know, our kids don't even have a clue compared to how we was brought up, right?
I hated school, Paul. I hated primary school. I wanted to go home. I didn't like it. Absolutely hated it. And when I went to upper school, I hated upper school as well. It's in Cuthbert's on the West Road, which was a grammar school, quite a good school. I hated it. Couldn't wait. Sting went there. Anton Deck went there. Laurie McManamy went there. Lots of famous people. Neil Tennant.
Sting, the singer, yeah?
Yeah, Neil Tennant. He had the same. Mr. Noon. Mr. Noon was his teacher, and he was my teacher also.
Oh, wow.
He was older than me, but I remember you mentioned to me that he was also his teacher, so I hated school. But looking back at school now...
Good vibes over there, mate. Good vibes.
Looking back, mate... It was the best times of my life.
Of course. And it's the same with anything, man. And you must realise this, that we take so much for granted trying to grow up, that when we grow up, we just want to go backwards to where it was fun and youthful, but with the knowledge that we have as an adult.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you what, man, if I knew back then what I know now...
Yeah. Wow.
Wow. Yeah. You know, and you try and instill this into your children, and they're like, they think that, oh, Dad, you don't know. Yeah. You don't know. Like, it's not like it used to be when you was kids. And I was like, wait until you get older. Yeah. You will see. You will see. It's much more violent now, I think, in a way where is at the finger. Yeah.
In a bad way, definitely.
Yeah. Because it was violent when we were younger, but we use these. We can come back from these. We're here today to tell the story. Mm-hmm. Kids now, they're not using these.
Yeah.
They're quick to pull out knives that are like the length of a leg and stick it all the way through you and serve 20 years and come out being like 30s.
Yeah, definitely.
What's that about?
How many people get stabbed in London per year? Paul, it's absolutely shocking.
The statistics are unreal, mate.
Gangs. Postcode gangs. What's that about? Postcode gangs. It's absolutely fucking shocking, mate. Postcode, because of where you live, I'm sure if them postcode gangs... What, in the nick together in a foreign country, they'd be the best of friends.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Oh, mate, you want an ally? Come here, you're my pal.
I spoke to a known criminal, a really good guy. He's called Lewis Clark. I've done a podcast with him, and he was part of a street gang.
Yeah.
And the people that they were shooting and they were fighting and they lost lives, friends from either side, he ended up serving big prison sentence. He was in prison with the people from the opposite gangs.
Yeah.
When they started talking, because they were serving long times together, they was like, he liked them. He got on with them. They were friends. So it's amazing that you can actually get on with someone, but a simple few letters and a couple of numbers make a massive difference to whether you survive in that neighbourhood or not.
Is it not too late then, Paul? You're doing a 10 stretch, no? Can we not met outside and talked outside? You know, instead of there's violence, hate.
Yeah.
Which I think there's too much hate going on now,
especially massively
on too much on, especially on YouTube, where they're having to pop each other and blah. This one hates that one. I mean, you were there with the 3D Fight Club. That's where we first met, Paul. All them guys were beating the shit out of each other because he said, she said, he said,
all
she
internet
said.
Beef,
and it was all shit.
It was all shit.
Oh, mate, half of them they weren't fighters. They weren't boxers. But they've got a Rick. He's got a Rick with him. He's got a Rick with him. Let's have a straightener. You become a bit of a laughing stock, really, because people laugh and say, oh, he wasn't worth two bob, he's not worth, he wasn't worth the shit. You know what I'm saying, mate?
Yeah.
So, where does that get you? Notoriety for the wrong reasons, I suppose.
Well, I think, like, so my channel, right? I set it up. We're on the YouTube platform where we're creating awareness. But a lot of people use the channel to gain notoriety, to gain fame, to gain strength, gain numbers. Yeah. It's all about the likes, the subscriptions, the this, the that. I went into it totally different to a lot of people. I'm not saying that I'm the only person, because there's loads of people that do what I do. I feel like with me, I went on YouTube to be able to press out the message of awareness of, you know, of pain, trauma from this. And there's people like yourself that are on my channel that have got serious name for themselves where you just wouldn't mess, you know. And the respect that you've got, you won't get that with kids anymore. Like, you know,
you say it's serious respect that people won't mess with you. That's probably true, because if I wanted to, but I don't. If I was a troublemaker, one of them cause fucking trouble, and I've got to pick the telephone up and say, well, I want me to give me two sons, get him, and get 20. I could, mate, I'm not bragging or bullshitting. I'd get 20, 30 men there immediately. Do I want to pull them out of bed with their wives and put them through the trauma? So, mate, I'm not that kind of guy anyway. Unless it was really something really, really serious that happened, you know. Maybe I could do it, but I wouldn't. I won't. I don't want to go down on Avenue. I'm nearer 60 than 50. Do you know what I'm saying, Paul? I should be having grandbens soon. And I'm just happy. When my kids are happy, I'm happy, mate. If my kids are upset, then I get upset. Had a little incident a few weeks ago where my son got robbed in the park, mate. I just wouldn't let it lie. My son's only 30. These guys were fucking 15, 16 years of age, robbing my son. Threatened they were going to stab him. Mate, I went fucking ballistic. I didn't mind saying that, but I went ballistic. Anybody hurts my children, mate, I'm going to do me fucking nut, mate. But I'm pleased it got resolved. Apologies, Nick. He got his money back and blah, blah, blah. They know exactly who my boy is now. They wouldn't fucking dare leave. You know what I mean? I'm just pleased about that. But like I say, mate, it's not like it was years ago, Paul. It's just it's not good. My Frankie's only little, you know. Now, I find a lot of these other kids who are 15 and 16, they're the size of me and you.
Yeah.
Which,
you know, you should see the size of my nephews.
Yeah.
My nephews tower over me.
My twins were 3 pound bone, that size. Mate, they're 6'2" now. They're a bit like, you know, they're big lads, you know. They got the gym all the time.
It's a new generation.
Of
young men now.
I don't know what we got fed in the 60s, but whatever they're getting fed now, mate, that like, everybody's massive, but I was just tiny.
Fertilizer they put in the food.
Probably, mate, probably. I was just tiny when I was a kid. And
I was a very small kid.
Yeah.
Very small kid.
I'm only 5'9". No, on a good day. That's not every day, but on a good day, I'm a good 5'9".
If you're walking on your tiptoes.
Aye. I was shocked because I always thought I was 5'7". Went to the hospital, she says, do a weight and it's thinking test.
Well, the oldies,
she says you're 5'9". I went, really? I couldn't believe it. I went, wow. But I think now, mate, as I get older, I'm getting expanding that way rather than. I love history, Paul. I love history, Newcastle.
I know we've been standing outside. You're pointing at things, saying,
"I've done a lot of videos, especially during lockdown, mate. When I got furloughed, I thought, oh, I need to get out. And the weather was beautiful, so I've done a few walks and a few talks. I was walking and talking at the same time, up and down here,
I love
going
when
around
you do
there.
The accent.
And I just pointing out some things. And there was a couple of guys from school, old schoolmates, who turned around and said, Tony, I never knew that. And to be honest with you, I never even researched anything. That's honest, I just knew that street was there and that street was there. I think Moseley Street here in Newcastle, I think I told you the other day, Moseley Street in Newcastle was the first ever street to be lit by electric light bulbs. The first ever trains, locomotive number one, was built just up the road there, made by Robert Stevenson. And in fact, I just learned last week there, the guy who invented windshield wipers. was from Newcastle.
You did say
so
that.
It's It's crazy. You just you don't really realise what's on your own doorstep, you know. There's a tunnel under Newcastle as well. There's loads of tunnels. I tell you, across there's one across the road there, but there's a tunnel under Newcastle that goes for a couple of miles.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And during lockdown, mate, I was walking past, and the guy had the door open. I says, oh, what's your name? He says, Peter. I says, Peter, that's my dad's name. I remember that. He says, do you want to come in? So that we've got a guided tour, mate.
No
free.
Way.
Yeah, for free, mate. I went, I took a video. If you check out my Facebook, it's there's a video of it, you know. So, mate, it was dead interesting. This tunnel's 200 years old. It was... But they do tours, mate. It's 15 quid to get it, but he let win for an hour anyway. It was fantastic. Hasn't been used since the war, since 1945.
I'd love to get down that tunnel.
1945, mate. Fantastic. Really interesting.
Oh, I'd love to get down that tunnel.
Really interesting, mate. Aye. Plus, it was built for the cold, take the cold down, because Newcastle's famous for its cool. That's what we're famous for. And they brought a lot of wealth to the city, Paul. So, all these lovely buildings you see.
Do you have family that dealt with the coal mines and what have you?
No, not really. Never coal mine. There's always been street traders, mate, if I'm being honest. Like I say, Paul, I was telling you yesterday, we come from a family of hawkers, street traders.
Yeah.
That come from the East End of London. So, we kind of fetch them trades to Newcastle. So, we start working the streets of Newcastle, kind of giving people what they wanted, fresh fruit and vegetables. Amongst other things, well, that's which way it was back then, mate. Yeah, like I say, it's all completely changed now. Albert's retired last year. In fact, it was when COVID started, that was Albert out the trade. A lot of people know just that they're doing deliveries with fruit and vegetables straight,
yeah.
You know, it's cut out the middle, man. Years ago, you could get the buy a bit of gear in town, a couple of carrier bags, then you're on the bus, and then you're home. That's all heavy. That sounds
now
like
they're trying to deliver food by drones and pay on your card. Yeah. I think it is sad that we are slowly losing the history because...
Tesco vans pulling up, Paul, at your door. There's your stuff all paid online. So you don't even need to come out the house.
Yeah.
You don't need to come out the house.
But the thing is, that when they do that, they're losing the heart of the UK.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
100%.
If I was to go down and buy fruit and veg off the stall, you've got the geezer shouting.
Yeah, yeah. You can't shout anymore.
Hello, darling. What?
You can't shout anymore.
Really?
No. You can't shout anymore because people live above these buildings. And that's another thing. You see all these little things. Hurry up, lovely.
That is the heartbeat
of the
UK.
It's all slowly but surely strangled down, being taken.
The English language is the first language of the UK. Cockney runs right beside it.
Yeah.
Cockney was from the street traders and the port traders.
Yeah.
You know, this is where it comes from.
Yeah.
Everything is slowly being forgotten.
Well, the word slang, you know what slang means?
Go on.
Slang, when you speak slang,
apples
and pears.
Apples and pears, stairs.
Boat rates, bloody blah.
Yeah.
Or Pint of Nelson.
Kettle.
Slang. Kettle, yeah. Kettling, was it?
Is kettle, I like your kettle.
Yeah, lovely kettle.
Lovely
Kettle and hob.
Kettle and
fob,
hob,
because it was a fob chain then in your pocket.
Dog and bone.
Dog and bone. Found, slang is secret. Put the two as secret language. Put that together, see a slang, secret language.
I didn't know that one.
Well, there you go, and you've learned something new today, bruv. Secret language was, and it's shortened to slang, so that's where the word slang comes from. But my favourite slang word was, it's all down to Larkins. If you ever watched these black and white films and Ealing comedies with my favourite ones, Two Way Stretch, Bernard Cribbins, David Lodge and Peter Sellers, they're in the nick together and they actually escaped to do a robbery and get back in the nick. Funny if one, really funny. And he says, "Live, it's all down to Larkins." So I said, what does Larkins mean? I also meant larking about.
It's for out. Yeah.
Larking about for out. But it wasn't. So when last time I spoke to Fred in London, Fred for me, I says, "Fred, what does that mean, Larkin?" He says, "Oh," he says, "well, there was a lord years ago, a lord called Lord Larkin. And he owned loads of houses and people worked for him. And when he went in the local pub, he bought everybody a drink. So, he says, and when Lord Larkin had a few beers, he went home. People used to say, give us another pint of beer. Give us another pint of Larkin, another pint of beer. And say, who's paying for that one? He says, it's down to Larkin, which means they got a fun out. So
that's
I thought it was a great one, that one. Down to Larkin, Lord Larkin.
Lord Larkin.
Down to Larkin's, mate. Down to Larkin. That means you got off for nothing. But interesting, really interesting. Yeah, I love it. I love the history of the East End as well. I've done a...
Well, you got family from the East End, didn't you?
Not that I know any, Paul, to be honest with you, but that's where we're from. We're from 43 Skidmore Street, which was in the East End, because I've got documents at home that my grandfather and brothers and sisters, their brothers and sisters, were from the East End of London. So, but like I say, it was 43 Skidmore Street, Mile End, where they lived. They went to school there. And they moved up here in 1914. I can only imagine because of the First World War. Maybe it was the first Blitz when they were chucking, because Zeppelins come across London, they were chucking bombs out. Maybe they got away because of that, I'm not too sure. But my grandfather, like I say, died in 1964 when my dad was in the nick, which wasn't very old. He was 56, 57, my age. And I asked my dad, did you speak Cockney? How much did you speak? Was he Geordie or did you speak Cockney? He says, you only spoke Cockney when he swore. So when he lost his temper.
Yeah.
And apparently you call everybody Babby. All right, Babby. Yeah. I call my kids. Come here,
Babby. That's a northern thing now.
Yeah, Babby. Come here, Babby. I call my kids that. My daughter. Babby, I call anybody that. He was a female anyway. Come here, Babby. So... I made it interesting. But I probably still have family down there that I probably don't even know about yet. That I don't even know about.
Hopefully, one day you'll get to find out. A bit of this family tree. I knew your uncle turned around and was saying that he'd done a bit of that ancestry.
You
never know. Someone from your family might do it down there, and that's how you link up. That's how I got in contact with a long-lost uncle of mine.
All right, okay.
I began to see him in Cornwall in a couple of months. So,
all right, okay.
Yeah.
Lovely part of the world, Cornwall.
Yeah. I haven't been there before.
Right. Lovely.
But, you know, throughout, you know, you've got a serious working family and that, right? And you've got this, again, this name that you've gone on, but... you're just a lovable guy around here, mate. We are from a
huge family, if I'm being honest, a real big family. But 99.9% of them, we've got doctors. We have got doctors. I mean, I was talking to my niece a few weeks ago. She's qualified. She's a doctor, PhD. She's only 25, just passed PhD. Beautiful looking girl. She's a qualified doctor. My two sons work offshore. They're the gaffers at what they do. They've got men that work under them. Albert stood on his pitch for 50 years plus. On his pitch, selling fruit and vegetables. You know, I've worked 90% of my life. I've worked, I worked in a glass factory, Tyneside Safety Glass. I worked for Ciccarelli's ice cream place. I worked Peter Mayer's fruit and vegetables. Plus, my dad had his own shops. I've done lots of work with my mum and dad. And I find that being a hard worker, mate, you appreciate your money more. You don't waste it. You don't spend it on drugs or shit, or you know what I mean? You kind of look after it more, and you can spend it on the right things, and you can sleep in your bed safely, Paul, if I'm, you know, you haven't got the old bill coming knocking on your door 6 o'clock in the morning giving you a hard time, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because a lot of people don't realise that when you are committing the crimes and you are getting yourself somewhat of a name is the paranoia that comes with it, you know?
Yeah.
You're worrying that you hear the noise outside, you're up at the window and stuff. Yeah. I mean, you've allegedly been accused of several bits and pieces, haven't you?
Allegedly.
Tell us any about any of this stuff.
They weren't.
I mean, because you're a sayer that's got a hell of a name, but never been to jail, you know. Yeah. And
I've been arrested a couple of times, but they weren't for very serious things, if I'm being honest. We used to go to the jump up years ago. I don't know if you know, but the jump up was like you would wait for vans coming there once with the back doors was open. You'd jump in and get yourself a couple of boxes and shut the van doors, and sometimes they would drive away and they never even reported. Do you know what I mean? But that was when I was young, 18, 19, 20. Stealing cigarettes and stuff like that. It wasn't already's and stuff, you know. It was never, it wasn't big time, Paul, if I'm being honest. I mean, a lot of people rob banks and post offices. That wasn't my cup of tea, if I'm being honest with you. I was kind of treated like a bit of a game. And even when we were kids, like street urchins as kids, we used to get these tomato trays, because my father used to have all the empty boxes of tomatoes, and you put one inside the other one, You take them to the green market, you get yourself 4 and 5 pence each for them. But everyone in the green in the market used to save them as well. So there's a couple of old guys used to save them, and they'd have them big piled up. So we used to sneak in and pinch all his tomato trays and go and cash them in, you know what I mean? Yeah, get yourself a tenner, yeah. Get yourself a five or a tenner, mate. But it was looking back at what they were, the great, the best of times, if I'm being honest. Never done anybody any harm, really. It was always a bit of cat and mouse, if I'm being honest.
Did you have anyone that you'd seen and you thought to yourself, that is a serious guy?
Lee Duffy was kind of that, you know.
Yeah, a lot of people from the Northeast all do say Lee Duffy.
Yeah, Lee, I mean, if you were in Lee's company and you come in and someone was 6'4", stood over there, never said a word of him. I think it was an alpha male thing, Paul, where he would just go, come here, I mean, how about joining him? So it's just bosh, bosh. He'd spark that fella just for, because he was big and he was there, you know. Wow. I think that's when you met, it was a similar thing when he met Brian Cockrell. Brian's a lovely fella.
Yeah, I know Brian. I've done a podcast with Brian.
Brian's a nice fellow. Emma's a lovely woman, his wife.
Yeah, she is really lovely.
We had them up here. We had a meal one day and we're talking about different things. But I think when Lee met Brian for the first time, it was like challenge, bosh, into him, fighting, fighting, fighting. And when he seen that Brian could handle himself, it was like, oh, well, listen, hand out, shook his hand. And like you've said before there, you kind of, there's a kind of respect thing comes between the pair of them. So I think Lee turned Brian to the dark side, where Brian become a bit of a naughty boy going on taxing people and taking things off people, which I mean, Brian's the same age as me.
Yeah, he's a big guy, mate. Oh, now, like he's a big guy, mate. Yeah. He's like 6 odd foot.
That's right.
But you can tell he's a man. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? The real deal.
Abnormally strong, Paul. Yes. He was abnormally strong. He could pick cars up and move cars. Oh, Stephen's telling us about some things he used to do years ago. Abnormally strong, mate. But a nice guy, really nice guy.
I've got a lot of love for Ryan.
Yeah, yeah. Hope he gets well soon, because I know he's been...
Yeah, he's been struggling with himself a little bit at the minute. But I'll tell you what, he's all up here still.
Oh, definitely,
he's up here still. Yeah. And you know what? They were absolutely amazing hosts. Yeah. Went to their house.
Yeah.
Absolutely love them. They you know, we invited them out for a meal and that lot, but they were doing a live that night. And, you know, they said, come back on your way through. We ended up getting so waylaid with podcasts. Yeah. You see how late we finish, you know?
Yeah.
And
they can kind of drag on, can't they? You know what I mean?
You say drag on, but I like it, though. I like it because when you start finding, since doing these podcasts, say if I'd have seen you at the 3D event, which we did, and we'd had half an hour with each other, like sitting at the table, having a laugh and what have you, having a little interview and stuff where we. Yeah. You know, they can see it on the one of the videos that we've got on YouTube. That was all we would have known of each other, unless you'd turn around and said, hey, what's that pool like? And then you'd get, that's me, and then build up. I like this because you get to find out someone, and then you get to forge a relationship that's longer than 15-minute meet and whatever anyone else has said. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's really nice because the time I get with you on camera, goes out to all of the viewers, all over the world, literally all over the world, and they get to see the real you because we've got it down on camera.
Yeah.
This is your legacy. Mm. This is your story.
I never, when you asked me, Paul, in Manchester, when we met in Manchester, I never thought I'd, when you says, oh, because you asked me first, we'd do a podcast.
I did, yeah, straight
and
away.
I says, no.
I said, I know you. You go, how do you know me? I said, I used to live in Sunderland and I heard your name and your family name. Yeah. And I said, I want to do a podcast with you.
I thought I had a story to tell, Paul. But when I went to him and thought, because he gives you a card, he says, if you change your mind, give us a ring, blah, blah, blah. And it was only after a couple of weeks that I actually lay there one
day. That's right, you give me a call.
Maybe is that, because I thought, I haven't done any prison time. I've never been lifed off. I'm not from a broken home. So I think I'm unusual in the fact that I've had a fantastic upbringing. I've had fantastic parents. I'm from a family that's pretty staunch, stick together, but we're hard working, mate. Hard working. So I think people tower with a brush of, oh, they've been to prison, they've done this, they've done that. Well, I didn't. You know what I mean? And my family members that did go to prison, it wasn't always. The police didn't always do their job correctly. There's been a lot of bad things what the police have done.
Withheld, gangsters, they say.
Withheld evidence, put evidence in, you know, probably getting fitted up and things like that.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrible, really, when I think about it. So any normal person, Paul, would have got compensation for it. I mean, some money. Chelsea didn't get any compensation. If they did, it was peanuts.
Mm.
Buttons, you know, it was an occupation. But then the police tried to have my cousins left off for things that they didn't actually do. I mean, our John's been accused of some terrible things, but he didn't do.
What things had he been accused of?
John had been accused of a rape. When the police had come, the girl had said he had tattoos and he was baldy. Anyway, the police nicked our John. John hasn't got tattoos. John isn't baldy. Still got remanded for it. Still got remanded. Can you believe that? Remanded for 6 weeks. And I think it's just to put a slur, like a black mark on your name. Do you know what I mean? So you get these clowns on. Who doesn't like work or doesn't like our John? Yeah, Nick for rape and all that, mate. It wasn't true, mate. It wasn't even him, man. It wasn't true. But they still have a pop, and I think the police just want to put a bad mark against your name. So, like I say, when I was up a few weeks ago, I talked to these two ladies. You tell them your name, and they're going, "See us? Oh, really? Rapists and drug dealers? No, no. If you know the truth, you know they're not. Not like that, man."
Thing is, the internet is prime example. They're is the biggest bullies, because as soon as someone puts one thing out there, it could be anything. Like the terminology nonce is being thrown around so freely, so easy, that when you call someone a nonce, it's no longer a bad thing. It's just like, "Oh, shut up, you nonce." And you're like, how can you use that term loosely? That's a serious thing.
Well, did that work? The word cunt was the same, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What about you can't?
What are you talking about?
You called someone a cunt years ago, it was a bad thing. But now it's simply been getting twirled to, you know.
It's unreal.
A term of endearment.
And the new slang is just shortening words and talking like, "Yeah, bruv, get me, fam," and all that. Like,
that's what you see. All these kids know who class themselves as gangsters, Paul. Gangsters. It's in it, bruv. You know what I mean? Bruv, in it, bruv. And I just... Why can't you speak English?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you speak with this patois, this horrible, I think it's sickly horrible. I don't like it. But and anybody speaks like, "Oh, bravo," fuck off.
Trousers coming off their ass and
hanging down there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know the real terminology behind that?
Go on.
In America, if you're in prison and you wear your trousers below your ass, it says that you're game for...
Oh, right.
And this is what a lot of kids are not seeing.
Tossing the salad.
Yeah, tossing the salad.
Is that what they call it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Toss your salad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you see this stuff, and I think to myself, I wonder if they know the real reason why you do that.
Yeah.
And would they pull their trousers up if they did?
Mm. It's a horrible look.
Yeah.
Drain pipes.
Yeah.
Awful.
Yeah.
Awful.
You always dress super, super smart, mate. Super dapper all the time.
The reason I was that's very rare, wear jeans, but very rare. Because being fetched up as a child, my father always wore suits. My Uncle Frankie, all the lads, all the family, everybody wore suits. Waistcoats, mufflers, top coats.
Yeah.
So being fetched up like that when I was 16, 17 years of age, I saved up some money, went to Marcus Price. I bought a suit, a Paul Smith suit, that was £225 back then, mate. And I just loved having a suit on and feeling, you know, it made you feel important, that you were going somewhere, do you know what I mean? But always had suits, always wore suits.
Do you reckon that's what a lot of things where people see you and they see that you're all suited up? Same as your uncle, he was dressed up super smart the last time I saw him. That that adds to that mafia status.
Not like I say, it's not a word I tend to use. Call my family mafia. It's just family. We're family.
Yeah.
And if you want to put that in Italian, it's la famiglia. So we are family. We're family. But mafia is not that. I don't think that's the right terminology. Gangsters, even gangster. I don't think that's the right terminology either.
You have you up here. Do you have a rivalry up here through your last name?
With who? Other families.
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. There's other families who they become, is that the right word, jealous of?
I think jealousy is one of them things that's become so often now that, like, no one wants to see someone do well.
Yeah.
So if they see you're doing smart and...
We normally get on with most families.
Yeah.
Because the CS family are not just the only family in Newcastle who've got a bit of a rep.
Mm.
There's other families as well, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But sometimes one or two of them get a bit... jealous of something he's done, and sometimes not that that bothers me. Like I don't really get myself involved in any.
So it's not like how it is. Like you see, you've got the whole America. You've got the five families, and you've got all that other families that have got names that they pulled together. Well,
that's organized crime, Paul. Where listen, we can get a few quid here. You run that district. You run that district. You, I mean, we're from the West End, and there's been three or four, five families in the West End for years and years and years, but we've always getting on with them, if I'm being honest. Maybe something's a bit of a rivalry sometimes, but that's a good thing, not a bad thing, I suppose. But we've always coexisted, Paul, so do you know what I mean?
I think it's absolutely amazing. I love the Northeast. I kind of wish I still lived up here.
Yeah.
You know, I went back down south to start a new life.
Yeah.
For helping my brother and that lot, you know, just be able to get out of the lifestyle and just push forward. Unfortunately for me, it didn't work out. And now,
you know, if you buy your house down south and you spend 100 grand, what do you get for 100 grand, mate? Not a lot.
Nah.
You can't get yourself maybe a one or two bedroom flat up here, you know what I mean, for the same kind of dough.
Yeah.
So that's maybe why a lot of people make the move from south to north.
I think it's the people are a lot nicer up north, though.
Yeah, I think so, definitely.
Yeah, we've
got a bit more time for you. Hello, yes, or hello, yes. Yeah, I find that as well.
And I think northern people, they tend to look after themselves a lot more as well.
Yeah,
I do. I think, you know, when you go down south, you don't have a set. Everyone wants to wear, like you say, balaclavas, hoodies, and all this lot, and tracksuits and what have you. I see up here, I mean, we're sitting in this place. There is a lot of smart people in here just because of the place it is. Yeah. It's very upmarket, you know.
Yeah.
A bit of you for sure.
Yeah.
You know, but I just find that everything is just better up here.
I've sat here a few times and I've had a few whiskies because they do some fantastic whiskies behind there.
Oh, yeah.
But my son came to stay with his girlfriend a few weeks ago.
You are a big whiskey drinker, aren't you?
I like whiskey.
I didn't notice that in your house. Yeah, so you've got a table of whiskies,
didn't
you?
I like whiskey. I like Irish whiskey, Scotch whiskey. Any whiskey, but a lot of people. If I do, I give it. There's a friend of mine who had a bad back, and I give him some CBD oil for his bad back a few months ago. He got us a bottle of whiskey. Another guy, I done a little favour for him. It wasn't, you know, it's not a big favour, but there's a bottle of whiskey for you, and I finish up with
a table full of whiskey.
a table full of bottles of whiskeys in the house, mate. But I got into a habit, Paul, when I was on lockdown, having a couple of whiskeys every night, and I realised I'm doing a half a bottle per night, and then not even getting, I didn't really feel that pissed, if I'm being honest, but to go to bed and having a good night's sleep. And after 3-4 months of this, you didn't realise, but you become a bit alcohol dependent. So when you stop it, I go, oh, white elephants, pink elephants, you're not sleeping properly. So I'm trying to wean myself back off it again, you know, so that's why they're lying there at the moment, dormant, so...
I know we've done a small video before in your car talking about you being in films and there's many people that I've spoken to.
I'd like to be in films.
I know, and there's people that I've spoke to and they've said like Kevin Lane, he left me a message last night, I let you listen to it, and he said he's definitely coming up, he'll be up here in August. Okay. He's definitely going to come see you because he's got nothing but love for you because you went all the way to London for him.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
And when he comes up in August, he's definitely going to meet up with you. Yeah. And he wholeheartedly turned around and said, that guy needs to be in films.
Yeah. Maybe I could play him in the film, maybe, yeah.
Imagine that.
That'd be all right, wouldn't it?
give me a bit of Kevin Lane.
Kevin Lane? Yeah, that's right. He's just like that. He's been getting interviewed, didn't he? Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So the screw come in and I done him. That's what he said. I'm watching.
I felt like I'm here with him.
I was watching the night, mate. It was a good show, that was. But he's a good speaker, good eloquent. He's eloquently spoken.
I've never, smart. I've never sat with a man like I have Kevin, where he's got the aura of a true man's man.
Yeah.
And the ability to be able to get his message across is great.
Been through the mill. I think that guy's been through the mill. You can tell.
I think he has. And also, I also think that the system has messed him up so much
that he's on a mission to clear his name.
Yeah.
And I will stand toe-to-toe with Kev on every step of his journey to help clear his name.
I thought Noel Smith come across quite well as well. He was a good speaker as well. He got fucking Razor.
We our podcast with Razor, and what a gentleman he is.
I could sit
and just listen to Razor talk.
Most people who've done Bird like that, mate, they come with their fucking, they're mentally unstable or something, or they're on medication.
I think Noel's all there as well, though, mate. 60, we done him just before his 61st birthday, and he's there, mate.
Yeah.
He's there mentally.
My cousin John's done a lot of Bird as well, like same as like Kevin. And he's just proper switched on, still mentally there. Doesn't take drugs, doesn't drink. When he was in the nick, it was just training all the time, you know, so... I'm pleased to see it.
Yeah, Kev still trains hard.
Yeah.
He still trains hard. He's in very good shape.
Yeah, good.
Very good shape. Excellent. When he told me how old he was, I didn't believe him.
Yeah.
You know, I went to his house. He's got a lovely house. His wife is absolutely, or his girlfriend is absolutely lovely.
Yeah.
She looked like she was a really good cook as well, mate.
Excellent.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've got a lot of love for them.
Brilliant.
A lot of love.
Yeah.
Yeah, they live down the road from where I grew up.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, crazy. When I was down that way, I was there, I was driving past, and I was like, I'm from this end. And I was driving, and I was like, I swear I'm from this end.
Yeah.
And it was just so much familiarity, and he lived down the road from where I grew up.
I went down to London with, it was my friend, Jerry and Ramal.
Ramal.
Big heart
and Jez.
Big heart of them guys, yeah.
Jez and Ramal.
Them talking about Kevin's plight a few years ago. And they says that he'd been recalled back to prison for something.
Yeah.
Anyway, I went down to London on the Thursday, and lo and behold, he got out. He got out on the, sorry, went on the Friday, and he got out on the Thursday. So he was actually on his own march.
Yeah, that's right.
We went to Downing Street, and we walked from Downing Street to a...
I wanted to go to that march, but I was actually away. I think I was on holiday for that march, but Ramel and Jez, they were at the Blind Beggar with us at Whitechapel when I was podcasting Michael Emmett, Brian
that's
Emmett,
correct,
that's and right. Maureen Flanagan.
Yeah, that's correct.
And
I spoke on a telephone.
Yeah, because you was the little spoon, weren't
that's
you?
Right, that's correct. Yeah, that's right.
Right. Hell yeah.
But, I think there's a do there next week. I think there is.
Maybe. Oh, is that a charity one?
Yeah, charity
in the garden.
One,
is that Maureen's?
Yeah. I'm not too sure, mate. I'm not too sure.
I know Maureen does a lot of stuff there in the
garden.
Yeah,
she does. For NHS things and stuff like
that.
Yeah,
that's right. Because she had cancer, didn't she?
That's
and
correct,
she's a survivor.
That's correct.
And I wish her all the safe.
Yeah, true.
Safe in the future. Yeah. Like, just with,
best wishes
with her being in remission and stuff. Yeah, definitely. Maureen, love you, girl.
Yeah.
Who's your daddy? I said that to her and she went, who's my daddy?
Yeah, lovely woman.
Sent
me a lovely book. I read the book. You know what the book was like? It was like being in the film Legend, but it was, instead of being from her point of view, it was from Maureen's point of view, which I thought was great. Really,
we
really
spoke
good.
About that in the podcast, actually. Yeah. Her podcast is coming soon as well, actually. By the time this one comes out, her one would have been out. So you should get a watch on that. It's going to be good. But she talks about... I didn't realise how many TV shows and everything she'd been in
and
Carry On films.
Yeah,
and
right,
and when she sits there and she's in there, she's 82, was it 82? 82.
Yeah.
I think she's something like that. Oh, she looks lovely. Absolutely. And what a stunner when she was younger.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like me.
Yeah, I love Maureen. She's a good girl. But, you know, I was down there. With Michael Emmett and Brian, I've done a double podcast with them as well. That was absolutely amazing. But I love Michael to the point where I call him me dad.
All right, okay.
Yeah,
when I've been to a couple of charity dues at the Beggars, and I've met some proper stand-up people. Some nice. You go there and you meet people who are cut from the kind of the same cloth as what you are.
Yeah,
you know they're not blaggers or robbers or. Some of them are, to be honest with you, but
just straight real people.
Yeah, but they're proper people. They're proper real people, you know, which I quite like, guy.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. It's a good environment now. I actually do love being at the Blind Beggar, to be fair.
Good
people.
Good stuff.
Good people.
Yeah.
So what would you say to people, kids, that are looking at you guys as role models? I think looking at you as a role model today, you know, you haven't been to jail.
I've been lucky on that score, to be honest with you. But I just I idolised my mum and my parents, if I'm being honest, and I didn't want to upset them. When my dad actually sat me down and says, Tony, I don't want you doing this, I don't want you doing that. If you need any money, please let me know, blah, blah, blah. From being a little kid, he took me to the markets, and he just keep your eyes and your ears open. So I was to watch how he spoke to salesmen. I mean, you have Covent Garden back in London. We had a similar market up here where the guy used to come in, pallets of strawberries, peaches, and stuff from all over the country, all over the world. And I just love the banter with the. So I nearly got veered away down that path. But when my cousin got killed, I kind of went, well, I says, that wasn't really for me. And that just goes to show how, because that was over something really stupid. It was tragic. It was very hard for me to take. So God knows what it's like for his two daughters to take and his mum and dad. I mean, you don't get over something like that, really, because I haven't really. There's not a day goes by, really, or a week goes by that I didn't think about it, Frankie. Just tragic, mate. So my advice to any young kids today, mate, seriously?
Yeah.
Do your exams. Stick your exams, because education is the most important thing you'll ever have. Travel, Paul, if you can travel, that broadens your horizons. You see how other people live. When I left school, I must admit I wasn't that well educated. I loved history and I loved geography as well, funny enough, and I could speak a bit of French. I got a diploma in French, not that I can remember a lot about it, if I'm being honest, because it's like 40 years since I was at school. But I get by with a bit of French. Me and our John was in Marseille years ago and my camper van got burgled. And all the gendarmes was in the. Oh, and John says, go on, speak to. Said, may speak to them. May speak to them. So I says,
someone's burned something.
Something like that. The toaster's gone off. But I had to go and speak to the gendarmes, mate, about the van getting robbed. Robbed, mate. Aye. So that was an experience as well. That was a great time.
I would hamburger.
An hamburger.
Hamburger. Oui.
Hamburger, sir. That's what they say, aye. But I mean, I had a good time. But like I say, geography, history.
I know German.
Yeah. Do you?
Yeah.
Nine.
What is your name?
What is your name?
Only fools and horses, granddad.
What is your name?
What is your
name? And a little bit of German, funny. And a little bit of most languages, I'm being honest, just enough to get by.
Yeah, I'm a little bit the same. I've got no qualifications whatsoever.
Couldn't talk if you get us in and...
Yeah, 9 inches.
That was a bit German there, but I met just... I kind of, when I left school, I kind of educated myself a little bit, you know, reading newspapers and reading what that word meant and what that word meant, and just reading all the time, because I felt as if, because you played a lot of truant from school, I should have been there and I wasn't. I wanted to go to work with my old man. I actually went to court for that. There was another court case, that one, where Mr. Milburn, who was the wag man, the people from off school, truancy officer, and I got sent to court. I don't know why I remember this, but it was December the 2nd. I had to go to court with parents, and there was like a panel of teachers there, and they had me in there, and they says, why didn't you like school for? So I tell them I didn't like the authority. I didn't. They were teaching you algebra, Paul. I thought, what have I wanted now with algebra?
I think
for?
That's actually what the, like done now.
Mate, algebra. We are wasting.
Algebra. I think it's done.
They were wasting my time teaching me algebra. I didn't get it. Now I got it. X equals Y equals Z. Who fucking gives a shit?
Yeah, yeah.
Your man told me years ago, if you can read and write and add up, because that's, we had foot jobs.
Read and write and count
add
money.
Up and count money. Yeah. You can leave school. So I kind of done that. And when I went to school, that year, in front of this panel of judges, whoever they were, at the Civic Centre, I had says, they says, what do you not like about school? I said, I don't like it. I just didn't like the teaching is algebra and I didn't like it. And all right. They says, well, what do you do when you're at school? I said, well, I don't go around pinching car radios or hubcaps off cars, you know. I says, I'm in the market with my old man. I said, help him. Well, oh, really? All right, okay. I was 14. They says, what day? What's your best day at school? So I say something like a Tuesday or something. Like, well, go to school on the Tuesday and just get that mark. As long as you go one day a week and let the world know that you're still alive,
yeah,
you still exist, we'll start with that. So eventually, towards the last couple of days, the year or two of me schooling, Paul, the kind of letters in the late 70s, just go one day a week?
I was very similar to that. I was so naughty at school that...
Can you regret it later on, Paul?
Yeah. But then again, I think to myself, do you know what? I've survived well, but I've got heart and I've got instinct, you know? Yeah. So, like, I can survive in this world with the trade that I have because I'm drawing on people for a living, you know? But if I never had that, I would be regretting that I didn't do a great deal, you know. But
I love my history, Paul. I read a lot of history books. I've watched a lot of stuff on YouTube about history. Lots of things. I educate myself on. Do you know what I mean? Because people say, "Oh, you're quite knowledgeable about the history, and you're quite knowledgeable about this." It's because I wanted to learn about it. Yeah. You know what I mean? I like self-taught myself when I left school because I kind of regret it. Because I think of all the school photographs you have, I think I'm only on one.
Oh, really?
I was in the second year, man.
I used to hide from the school photographs, not because I was naughty, because my school uniform was the cheapest school uniform of them all. Everyone had, like, proper blazers and that lot, and I had a knitted V-neck one with a polo shirt, you know?
My son goes to the school now, they're wearing maroon jackets, shirt and tie, but when I was there, like I say, my dad used to wear suits and ties, so I used to love wearing this, but all the other kids hated it. I like wearing it.
Yeah.
See you, Charles. God bless. I'm going to call in. See you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah. Hello.
Very official there, mate.
Yes, I know. I'm being quizzed. Take care, Charles. God bless.
Bye-bye. Good out, mate.
He's a piano player, that guy.
And this is exactly how it's been, spending time with Tony over the last couple of days. I've had people that are just like, they want to say hello. They want to say goodbye. They want to show that they know Tony. And... that is
respectful, mate, isn't it?
Very much so. It's really nice.
It's a shame everyone isn't like that because you'll get some arsehole hooligan.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
You always get one. You'll always get one. But you just, mate, if people are nasty, I tend to just, if they're liars or shitbags and tell lies or whatever, they're not nice people. They just get the sidelined straight away, mate. Simple as that, mate. That's which way it is. But, been a fantastic chat again, Paul.
Hey, it's been absolutely amazing. Yeah, I really appreciate you've done this for us again.
Yeah.
And my viewers absolutely love you.
Yeah.
From the time that I put the first picture up, to then going on my lives and saying that we're coming up to see you, they've absolutely loved it. So I really appreciate you doing this.
Thank
you. And thanks for the message for the kids, telling them to stay in school and that lot.
100%.
The whole point of my just going back to when you said about I didn't feel like I had a story. For me, I see the respect that you had from people. Yeah. I saw that you, when you told me, you spoke to me a little bit, I felt like you do have a story. Mm. And I think...
I never thought I did, Paul. There you go.
I don't think what you understand is the likability factor of you is absolutely massive.
Yeah.
And for me and my channel, I represent a message out there that sends off to the kids that you don't have to be full on. Carry a knife, commit criminal offences and that lot to gain respect. You can do that out of being nice.
I think when it starts, Paul, I think when they start smoking skunk, they think, skunk. Then they start taking fucking tablets or blues and Valiums and things and crap like that. Mate, I just, you know, it's, you're poisoning, you're going to kill yourself. It's a waste of a life.
Mm.
It's a waste of a life when there's the world, there's so much to be seen and so much to do. I try to have a lot of holidays lately, mate, and I'm going to tell you how, not that expensive holidays, I can get some flights to Tenerife for like 50 quid.
Yeah.
I think the cheapest one I got once, my girlfriend at the time, she got a flight for $6.99, and she was in Tenerife, and I went over to see her, and I fetched her bag.
You can't even jump on a bus, mate, from here to the other side of town for $6.99.
No, but you're in another country. You can't buy a pack of cigarettes for $6.99, mate. Yeah. There you go. The McDonald's meal for $6.99.
My girlfriend finds holidays for $20,000. Yeah. I need your ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, well, my mum and dad, them used to get cruises that were 1,200 quid per person. They were just a threer. Your mum had booked that med cruise for like $600 for the two of them. Do you know what I mean?
So
it can be done, mate.
I'm going to have to come up here and start booking holidays.
It can be done. We've got an international airport on my doorstep. Newcastle Airport, so you can always nip away somewhere, mate.
So there you go. Tony says, a face of Newcastle is saying to you guys, stay in school, get travelled. You 100%. Can do it, it's cheap, $6.99, he's gone to another country.
100%.
Listen, guys, I don't think what you realise is that these people are speaking from experience. Tony is definitely speaking from experience, from a long line of family members
that have been in jail, that have committed crimes, even been murdered themselves, like my brother. And I think you need to listen to the advice that every single person I have on my channel has given you guys. And if you don't see the message is clear. Don't commit crimes. Stay out of trouble. Live your life, because you don't realise how short it is. Stop being tomorrow men. Start being and start living for today.
You don't realise, Paul, when like your brother gets killed, your brother gets stabbed, God bless him. The person that did that, he's caused so much pain and anguish to his family.
Ripple effect. Ripple effect.
We drop a pebble in the water, mate, that ripple effect goes...
You've seen the guy I was with at the 3D fight. He was the one that talked to me about the ripple effect, and I was like, do you know what? It's absolutely right. Yeah. And it does make you think. It does make you think. But I think with this, I think people need to stop waiting until serious trauma happens before they open their eyes.
Yeah.
Because when you do start to live your life after you've lost someone, it's not as fun as if you was to do that before you lost someone. You understand?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you only change your life in the way that you are because of trauma, because of loss, because of pain. Yeah. And I think if you wake up and realise it before it's too late... Yeah.
Your heart's broken because you've lost somebody, but that person's heart's broken because their son's killed somebody, which is just... It's awful, mate. It's just not nice, man. It's not nice. And you know, it could have been avoided. It's just... It's terrible, mate. And like I say, these gangs, and postcode gangs, mate, it's all new to me. I learn new words every week, mate.
Yeah.
You know, vlogs, blogs... doxing, I heard in last week. Doxing, yeah. What's doxing?
It sounds sexual.
It's apparently it's giving someone's address over on YouTube.
Oh, is it?
So, it's doxing. I never heard that. Is that what they call it?
It's called doxing, someone's address.
Well, there you go. And you've learned a new word.
This is the new slang we've got, doxing. Because when we used to say apples and pears, it rhymed with stairs.
Yeah.
How does doxing sound like your address on the internet?
I've got no idea.
I don't get it. Like, I think I'm getting old, mate.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I think I'm getting old because at least when we said something, it rhymed very similar.
We are getting old, mate. That's what it is. Time waits for no man.
I hear that, mate. That was a good ending to a really good podcast.
Paul,
honey.
Mate, absolute pleasure, mate.
No problem.
Anytime,
mate,
pal. Anytime up this neck of the woods.
Love you, man.
You got me telephone, haven't you?
Of course I have.
Of course you have.
We FaceTime each other all the time. You give me your accents. Give us a couple of accents before you go.
Just say we're
signing out. Paul Stansby and Tony Sears out.
This is Tony Sears and Paul Stansby signing out. See you later. God bless. And
then the New York one.
New York. You want to go to New York? You know, your hair's too short. You don't know what you're talking about. Come on. Paulie, please. Jamie, Paulie.
You're breaking my balls.
Breaking balls. Vicky's over there. Vicky.
Forget about it.
Vicky, forget about it. Bring a coffee over here. Bring it over here. So there you go. Good night. God bless.
Good night. God bless.